this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Ben. It was awesome. It's fantastic just to be in the presence of God. Yes, it's like a... two announcements. Community coming up 1st of July. Community is where you can find out, like I always say, whether Shofar is a sect or not. You will find out that we're not. We're quite safe. We discuss various aspects, you know, introducing leadership, different ministries in the church, etc., etc. So if you think of joining the church, please come to community. You have to go through community just to understand our statement of faith, what we believe in, and it's all legit, so don't worry about that. And then secondly is what again? Oh yeah, Durban Plant coming up in July, right? Durban Plant, Clint and his lovely wife. Few things that we need to pray for is strategy for the vision to reach CBD and the surrounding areas, just for the relocation, logistics, mobilization of key individuals to join the Shofar team in Durban. We're really looking forward to this church plant. It's been on the cards for quite a while. I just want to encourage you also in small group on Wednesday. Can you please just take some time out and pray for the Durban church plant? And we trust God that His best will prevail. Just thank you, Lord God, for every precious soul that's sitting here. And I pray, Lord, that every heart and every mind will now be opened up in the name of Jesus to receive your word. To the glory of the Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John 7:37-39 says, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. That's the key verse. Verse 38. Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this is said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now you know, guys, it's an absolute privilege to be able to serve with quality people like you, to serve the kingdom of God. Preach it, Barry. Love that amen, man, for sure. You know, just so amazing to see how people take ownership of this latest, and it was a massive event, this launch, A Love for the City campaign. It was big, you know, how people just took ownership of all the different ministry facilities in areas. It was absolutely fantastic just to see how people are willing to serve, going on missions and just completely, you know, selflessly give themselves to other people. It was so amazing to see that. Just to see how many people in this church serve on a daily, a weekly, a monthly, and a yearly basis in small group. Through spiritual growth series, you know, through kids' church. Let me tell you, that is a massive job. Praise God for people who can do that. Intercession, you know, marriage prep and all these things, you know, hospitality team, the technical team, the worship team. People are serving, and it's such a privilege to partner with you in seeing the kingdom of God come, to see the kingdom of God expanding, to see people's lives being changed. And I believe that the reason why we see these different facets of ministry happen is because of your love for God. Because of your love for Papa God, your love for Jesus, your love for Holy Spirit. You know, and I think when the world looks at us and they view us from the outside, they may think that, you know, we're quite radical and quite extreme in, as they would call it, religious fervor. And you know what? I won't blame them for not understanding what we experience. You know why? Because what we experience is a spirit thing. It's not the natural thing. It's a spirit thing. Only someone who's been reborn, only someone whose spirit is filled with the Spirit of God can understand the things of God. You know, if I have to, before I got Noah, well, not only I mean, Lorena, I take you to the tango. But, you know, before we got Noah, I have no idea what an impact the child will have on my life for the better. And I thought, yes, this is going to be a big burden, you know, having a child. I was just honest. I was, finances, it's going to be time commitments, and I'm not sure whether I want this. I was very selfish, I admit it. But since Noah has come, I can't begin to explain the joys that he has brought into our life. Absolutely amazing. But it's so difficult explaining that to someone who does not have a child. If you don't have a child, it's like, yeah, okay. For me, it was anyway like that. One ear in, other ear out, you know. I didn't know what people were on about. I didn't know what the Word of God was on about, saying that children is a blessing. It's like, okay, probably true, but I'm not seeing that for my life until the little man entered into this world. And I realized how true the word is. And then I started to associate with what people, when they spoke to me about their children, what a blessing a child is, and how much they love their child. It's very difficult to explain to an unsaved individual the joys that we experience in Papa God. The passion that we have for the name of Jesus. It's very difficult to explain to an unsaved individual the abundance of life that is available to us and that we experience in Christ Jesus. Why? Because it's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. You need to be there in order to taste it, in order to understand it. And the only way for them to experience that is through repentance, turning away from what, and we've all gone through this, what we know is wrong, and turning towards God, our Father, and allow Him to fill our hearts with His love. But you know what? Something that I've also noticed is that sometimes we have trouble experiencing the life that is available in God. We have trouble experiencing the passion for God. That passionate flame dwindles as the years go by in many cases. Sometimes we do not experience the overflow and the joy that is available in Christ Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Would you agree with that? Sometimes we're there as well. And we feel that this river that Jesus is talking about, you know, rivers of living water, we feel that river is actually becoming a dry sand bed. It's not really a river flowing from our belly. And this is not applicable to everyone here. It might be applicable to a few. But I can tell you one thing. All of us will go through that season. All of us will go through a season where you'll experience some form of dryness. And it's important for us to know how to deal with it. Many times, you know, when we go through these dry experiences, we are seeking God, but we do not find Him. We are looking for answers, but we find none. It sometimes feels like God has abandoned us, like He doesn't listen to my pleas any longer. And I want to tell you, if you feel like that tonight, great men and women of God have felt like that as well in the past. I'm not saying, well, let me not go there for now. Let's just look at David as an example. David, I love the man's passion. I love his honesty. And he is a man that is known after God's own heart. Look at the next verse, please. This is David writing. He says, "You have put me in the depths of the pit, in the regions dark and deep. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you overwhelm me with all your waves." 102:9-11, "I eat ashes like bread and mingle tears with my drink because of your indignation and anger, for you have taken me up and thrown me down. My days are like an evening shadow. I wither away like grass." Do you find the joy in there? Do you see the rivers of overflowing water in there? Because I don't. Yeah? But that's what I love about David. He's honest. He's honest in how he feels. And many times we come to this place of dryness where I'm not experiencing the presence of God. I'm not experiencing that life, and I'm trying to cover it up. And God's like, don't do that. Be honest about it. Share it. You know, no one's going to think less of you if you're going through a dry patch. You've got to be honest. And like I'd say, you know, this was a man after God's own heart. And the reality is that many Christians go through these dry seasons. We don't really talk about it, but it's true. I come and say, how's it going? Very well, thank you. In the meantime, my heart is aching. My heart is dry. I've got so much resentment and anger inside here. But I put on the fake smile. Like they say, you know, sometimes in the finance industry, you need to fake it till you make it. Sometimes it's not honest from the start. I just want to say the following. While I was just praying and preparing, the following just popped up. You know, these dry seasons that we experience, it can either launch us into the next spiritual quickening, the next spiritual awakening for ourselves, or it can set us back a few steps, and it will all depend. The way that it impacts us and the way that it moves us forward, that is based on how we will deal with that specific situation. So the intensity and the duration of a dry season many times depend on us. Not always, but many times. The intensity and the duration of a dry season many times depend on us. How long are we going to stay here? We have got a lot of control actually over that. So there are a few reasons for dry seasons. I suppose there's a lot more than I'm going to share with you tonight. I'm just going to highlight two things that stood out for me while I was preparing. And the first one is the most obvious one. We need just to quickly tackle that. And that's the issue of sin. You know, we can't expect to be close to God. We can't expect to experience the abundance of life and live and walk in the joys of God if we deliberately pursuing a sinful lifestyle. And I'm not even talking about the external sins. I'm not even talking about, you know, pursuing sexual pleasures outside of covenant. I don't want to say sexual sins, you know, because sex is not sin. I love sex because it's inside of covenant. Yeah, I can say that. It's okay. It's inside of covenant, right? It's a blessing. But of course, we talk about sexual sins in church. I think many times we enter with that mindset that sin, you know, sex is sin. And we take that into our marriages. And then there's a lot of stuff that needs to be dealt with in marriage. You know what? I just feel this is wrong. You know, sleeping with my husband. Sleeping with my wife. I've seen this happen. So I don't want to talk about sexual sin. You know, sex is a blessing from God. But outside of covenant is not a blessing. It's a curse. I'm not talking about something like abuse or anything like that. I'm actually talking about the hidden chambers of our heart when we talk about sin. I'm talking about things like greed, the love of money. Yes, God is just showing so many things to me about the love of money and how that's infiltrated the church. And hopefully we'll talk about that at a later stage. But that is a massive issue that we need to address so that the church is not defiled. So that the church's approach and allegiance to Jesus is pure. We cannot serve two gods. It's impossible. Talking about things like covetousness, criticism, judgment. You know, guys, if we harbor these things in our hearts, it will destroy us. We're always looking for the external. We must look inside of ourselves. What is going on in here? And, you know, John 10:10 is so clear. The thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. That is the purpose of the devil. If you want to play in his territory, he will steal from you, he will destroy you, and he will kill you. That is his purpose. That is what he wants to do. He's got no mercy, and he does not play fair. If you play with sin, he will destroy you. If you play with sin, he will steal from you. And if you play with sin, ultimately, he will kill you. That's what he wants to do. You know, the love of God is real. The wrath of the enemy is an enemy. He's not a guy that's going to partner with you. You know, that's where the Freemasons get it wrong. Because they think if they can pact with the devil, he's going to give them something back. He's giving them nothing back. He's giving them back an eternity in hell. But they're too blind to see it. It will lead you into places where you will have a lot of trouble getting out. Do not play with sin. Do not play with sin. Jesus has come to earth to deal with our sin, right? Yes, yeah, absolutely not. We cannot just go and do what we want. But doesn't Jesus' grace cover all these areas of sin in our lives? Yes, it does cover it if you apply biblical grace. Not the grace that the world has fashioned. And I know we've spoken about this in the past. And I just feel it's important to reiterate the basics as well. We must pursue a biblical grace. The grace that God is after. The grace that God pours out on His children. Not the grace that the world tells us is acceptable and makes us feel comfortable. What does practical grace look like? And the first time when I saw it a while ago, it just struck me. Just the importance of Titus 2:11 and 12. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. Training us. What is training us? The grace of God is training us to renounce ungodliness. It's the grace of God that trains us to renounce worldly passions. It's the grace of God that teaches us how to live a self-controlled life. It's the grace of God that teaches us how to live an upright life, and it's the grace of God that teaches us how to live a godly life. That is what the grace of God does. The grace of God is not a ticket to go and do what I want to do. The grace of God is a ticket to be set free from that what the world pursues. That is what the grace of God does. I love that verse. I love just the truth in Titus 2:11 to 12. Now remember, we have been saved by grace through faith, right? We have been saved by grace through faith. It's the grace of God that saves us. So without getting technical, it's actually very easy to see who is saved and who is not saved. You just look for these qualities. Is this a person that's pursuing godliness? Is this a person that renounces worldly passions, renounces ungodliness? A person that's pursuing self-controlled, upright, godly lives? Doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. I understand that. We're going to fall. Absolutely. These things happen. But it's actually quite easy to see who follows Jesus and who does not follow Jesus. It's actually quite easy to see who is under biblical grace and who is under the grace of the world. Because biblical grace will always steer us in the direction of Jesus. It doesn't push us away from Jesus. It moves us closer to Jesus. That's what biblical grace does. It's grace that teaches us these things. That's why Jesus says in Revelation 21 verse 7, the one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God and he will be my son. You see, it's grace that teaches us how to over. It's grace that does it. The grace of God. It does not teach us how to sin. So we're talking about dry seasons. You know, sin will definitely have an impact or will be a reason why we may experience a dry season in our life. And if we find ourselves pursuing sin, if we find maybe do something 17 years ago somewhere that I'm not aware of, that you haven't brought to my remembrance. No, it's not like that. It will be very, you'll know it. That will be the reason why you are going through a dry patch. How do you deal with it? You repent. You say, God, I know that was wrong. The fullness of God's relationship will be restored. Where you can communicate, where the heavens are open, we communicate to Him freely. But the second point, I think this is probably more applicable to people here as to why we children, that it tests our hearts. Scripture is full of it. I'm just going to highlight a few ones. Yeah. 1 Chronicles 29:17. I know, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. 2 Chronicles 32:31. And God left him. They're talking about King Ezekiel. God left him to himself in order to test him and to know all that was in his heart. He left him to himself, right? That means he didn't experience the presence of God any longer. And to know all that was in his heart. So that he can realize what's going on in his heart. 1 Thessalonians 2:4, we speak not to please man, but to please God, who tests our hearts. I just put in the new covenant as, you know, in there as well, because I know some people think I'm only preaching old covenant. It's everywhere. Old covenant and new covenant. Praise God. A testing period is not a pleasurable period. It is not a pleasurable time that we're going through. In this time, you will experience loneliness. In a testing phase, you will experience frustration. In a testing phase, you will even maybe pick up on signs of depression. In a testing phase, you will be probably intimidated by things that are happening around you. You will experience confusion, etc., etc., etc. There's so many things. I'm talking about spirit-filled, reborn believers here. These are the things that you will probably pick up when you are going through a dry patch. And you may feel like David, that God has turned his back on you. But I can assure you, God has not turned his back on you. That is what we're talking about this evening. Like we just saw in 2 Chronicles, is the reason why we go, one of the reasons why we go through these dry patches and testing phases is so that God can show us what is in our hearts. Because we so quickly forget what is going on in our hearts. I don't know about you, but it's very easy when things are going smooth sailing to think that you are the sauce. Huh? I've made it. God, I'm okay, man. You know what? All this time and effort you want to invest in me trying to sort me out, I'm sorted out. Don't worry about me any longer. You know? Herman has got a lot more issues than I do. Go with Herman. He needs more time, your time, you know? Just kidding, buddy. You know what I'm saying, huh? But in the meantime, there's so much filth that built up in my own heart, crept into my heart, and that I've allowed to steer me, steer my thinking. I've become so filled with pride that I think, actually, I'm sorted out. Let me tell you guys, we never sort it out. Till Jesus comes, we never sort it out. There is always something that God will work on in our lives. I'm so far in character from Jesus, it's scary. You see, when we go through a dry patch, that is a very effective way to expose these hidden things in our hearts. To expose and allow those things go on in our own wisdom and in our own pride and our own ways and, you know, what we think is best. And we're like, where are you, God? And all of a sudden, all these things start to stir and all those hidden filth comes to the surface. And then we can see where we resurface. There's a lot of immaturity that God deals with when we go through a dry patch. We can quickly see or hear very immature. I need to feed the little fella. And I have to stop him from writing on the walls. He's going to grow up. And if Noah is 10 or 11 years old and he still go, ba ba boo boo bebe, you know, then we're going to sit down and have a serious chat. No, my boy, you've got a bigger vocabulary now. Use it. Yeah? God is after our maturity. God is dedicated to shape us into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. He wants his boys and his girls to grow up. For us as well, guys. Sometimes we hold on to childish things and God is going to move us through that childish phase into a mature phase. All of us. We're all on different levels. I understand that. Some year have just been saved and you need a lot of feeding and nurturing and caring where everyone else around you does a lot of things for you. Some of you have been sitting here and you've been knowing God for 10, 11, 12 years and you still think like a 2 or 3 year old. And God says it's time to grow up. We're moving to the next level. It's time to grow up. Some of you are sitting here and you truly do walk in the counsel of God. You've dealt with all that stuff in the heart. And you walk humbly before God. Key word there is humbly. You walk humbly before God. I can assure you, He will still put you through that dry season. But as you approach that season and deal with that season in a godly and in a biblical way, you will be propelled to the next level. What are the things that we need to consider while we're going through dry seasons? And what I'm about to share with you, this is not a mutually exclusive list. This is just a few things that came up while I was preparing and praying. There may be other ways to deal with it, but I'm going to share with you only these five that, God. You know what? When we go through a dry patch, it can grow our faith. It is possible. I say can because sometimes it won't. And that will be determined again by the way that we deal with this dry season. But it's an amazing opportunity for our faith to word and to know that His word is true. And I was just reminded of Elijah in 2 Kings 18, where, I mean, Elijah controlled the economy of the country through his prayer. Yeah? The rain is coming. I'm going to pray to God. It's going to open the heavens. The economy is going to be okay again. How cool is that? Huh? I love that. So Elijah, he goes down on his knees and he says, Father, I just envisioned this. This is not in the Bible. I just envisioned it. He says, okay, servant, go run to the other side of the mountain because I know that's where the clouds will come from and give me a report of when you see the clouds. So he goes back. He needs to go back. Where is God? Where is God? Why didn't God send the rain? Elijah, are you sure you heard from God? I don't think you heard from God, man. Elijah, there's no rain. Go check. Servant is running. Running. Okay, Elijah. I know he hears from God. He must be hearing from God. He must be. He's a man of God. Man of God. Where's the rain? Where's the cloud? Where's the cloud? There's nothing. Oh my goodness. I'm going to tick him off if I tell him there's nothing. God, where's the rain? God, Elijah, no rain. Now, by this time, I don't know about you, but I will start shaking my faith, you know, like, you know, God isn't listening to me any longer. But what does Elijah do? He goes down again. God, send that rain. Check the rain. I'm not going to go again. He does that 7 times. I mean, that servant is running. I don't know how long. I mean, maybe an hour, 2 hours. Shame, that guy must be fit, though. I'm just doing this little thing and I'm still puffing. Whew. So, he does that 7 times. He doesn't stop until he sees the result. Because he's got faith in God. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. It takes faith. You know, you could say that that first 6 times, a couple of hours probably passed, but a long time passed where Elijah didn't hear the voice of God. God didn't speak to him. But he pushed through. He pushed through anyway. Because he had a conviction that God's ear is inclined to him and that he would listen to him, even though he cannot perceive it. He had a conviction. He had a conviction that God delivers on his promises. And his faith was rewarded the 7th time. That to me is quite amazing. Now, what do we have faith in? It is an eternal truth that will always be true. And He will never deny Himself. His word will never return void to Him, says God's word. Ever. So whenever you're going through a dry patch, my friend, you can know the following. First of all, Hebrews 13:8. Why? Because He cannot deny Himself. Hebrews 13:5. I will never leave you nor forsake you. No matter how distant you feel from Me, no matter how dry the season is that you are going through, I'm enthroned forever. You are remembered throughout all generations. Where everyone will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is the one that David exalts. He knows who God is. Despite his feelings, despite his emotions, it doesn't matter how we feel, he will give praise to the Almighty because he's worthy of it, and because he's true, and because he's faithful, and because he's just. And he says, I will not back down. I will not believe this lie that you are not for me, that you are actually against me. I will not believe that lie. I will believe that you are for me. You're not against me. You're for me. Doesn't matter how I feel. Doesn't matter what season I'm going through. You know, David understood that God cannot die. He will not sleep. He will not slumber. David understood that his love is eternal and that his heart is for him. David understood that God is slow to anger and that he's full of compassion. Because that's what the word says. And that's what he stood on. No matter how he felt. And if we're going through a dry spell, I must ask myself, am I willing to push through like Elijah? Am I willing to go through those 6 attempts until I see the fruit of my faith? Am I willing to push through? Do you believe that God is who He says He is? The Savannah ad says, it's dry, but you can drink it. Let me tell you, my friend, doesn't matter how dry your patch is, drink the Word of God. Drink the Word of God. Stand on His Word until you see that breakthrough. That's number one. Believe the Word of God. How you deal with a dry patch. The second one. These are all common sense things, guys. I shouldn't say that. It doesn't sound so spiritual. I did pray about it, actually. I was wondering. Second point, stay close to people who love Jesus. You know, when we're going through a dry season, it's important to stay close to people who love God and from whose lives the rivers of living water is flowing. It's very important. Let me tell you, if you're going to continuously hang out while you are going through a dry season with another buddy that's also going through a dry season, you're going to become biltong. Right? We don't want to be biltong. We want to be wet, man. I like a juicy steak. Right? Don't hang out with other dried buddies that can't hear the voice of God. Hang out with people from whose lives the living waters are flowing. It's important to surround us with these people who are full of the joy of God. And why is this important? Because they help us to have a perspective on things. Our perspective becomes distorted many times when we go through a dry patch. But someone that is filled with the life and the joy of God will have perspective on things and will help you to stay on track. We've got many blind spots, but they become just so much bigger when we're going through a dry patch. And this is where our friends come in play. Ecclesiastes 4:12. And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, 2 will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. What that says is there's strength in unity. There's strength in synergy. So pursue it. Pursue it. Third point on how to deal with dry seasons is endure and be patient. Romans 5:3-4 says, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Now, please note here, it's endurance that produces character. It's not giving up that produces character. You see, if we give up beforehand, we've gone through that hardship for nothing. Push through. Endure. Go forward. Even if you fall, fall forward. Not backwards. Don't give up. Because if you push through, you will see the promises of God fulfilled in your life. Just by the way, do you have a promise of God for yourself? Do you know what God's promise for you is? Because if you don't, you need to find out. I think it must be very depressing going through life without a promise of God. Because if God gives me a promise, it will come to pass. Push through. Push through. God is also committed to teach us the fruit of the Spirit, as we see in Galatians 5, 22. Love, joy, peace. Third one, patience. I may have the order wrong. Patience. Yeah? Patience. You see, when we go through a dry patch, that is an excellent training ground for patience. We continuously going through training. And this is an amazing way to, to grow in patience, to grow in that fruit, so that that apple isn't so hard and, you know, a young apple is hard and you can't eat it. That's an excellent opportunity for that apple to expand, for the flesh to become soft and sweet, ready to be eaten. God is committed to produce good fruit in our lives. And many godly men and women in biblical times and also today have waited for years sometimes to see the promise of God being fulfilled in their lives. But they waited because they had patience. Will you endure and be patient until you see the promise of God fulfilled? Only you can determine that. No one else can determine that for you. Fourth point on how to believe the word, stay close to those who love Jesus, endure, be patient. Tap into the Holy Spirit. John 14:26 says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. You know, one of the greatest gifts that Jesus has given us is the Holy Spirit. And what I find when I do go through a patch where I don't clearly hear God's voice, or it just feels, you know, distant, I just find that as I pray in tongues, it just crosses that barrier. It's like a default reset button. And as I, if I can't figure something out in my own natural understanding, or, you know, hearing God through my understanding, I just, you know, by default, switch over to tongues. And I would start praying, having that issue in my mind, just pray in tongues. And everything, I will write down whatever comes to my mind. And every single time, I haven't had a situation yet while I was doing that I didn't get an answer to the issue. Every single time, as I push into tongues and just apply my mind to the situation and allow God to steer my thoughts, every single time, even though it feels like God is distant, even though it feels I'm not getting that much out of the word, and it feels like there's this ceiling, this barrier, every single time when I needed an answer, I got the answer. Why? Because it's a spirit thing. It's a thing that happens from the spirit. It's not an intellectual thing. You know, God is spirit, and as we communicate with him in spirit, heavens open up. God speaks. Tap into the Holy Spirit. You know, and sometimes it takes effort. Sometimes you just don't feel like it. Man, I just don't want to do it. Well, that depends on you. How much do you want it? How much do you want the answer? You know, we determine that. Again, it will take effort and it will take discipline. But I can assure you, it will be worth it. The last point that I just want to lay before you, how to deal with dry seasons. Keep your eyes on eternity. We are so temporal minded as believers. We are so temporal minded when it comes to our lives. Guys, this is not home. We are going home. We are on our way home. This is temporal. We're moving on into the eternal. Romans 8:18. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. This whole life is a preparation for eternity. Did you know that? This whole life is a preparation for eternity. If you haven't meditated on that yet, you must. Because only then your life will start to sink. Because everything will be aligned in accordance to eternity. If I'm still living here, I'm going to prioritize the things of the world. But if I apply Philippians 4:8 and I allow my mind to be on the things that we are going to, the heavenly things, the things of God, every decision now will be aligned with the eternal. Everything else that is of the world, I will identify as being of the world and I will shove it aside and say, it doesn't have a place in my life. The only thing that has a place in my life is that what is aligned to God and His purposes and His kingdom. Does that make sense? You know why Christians are confused? Because they haven't done that yet. And they allow worldly decisions to infiltrate their life. And before you know it, they find themselves completely conflicted. There's one foot in the kingdom and the other foot is in the world. And the two are not compatible. God said, you know, you can't be a friend of the world and a friend of mine. You either hate the one and love the other. You love the one or hate the other. Yeah? Eternal minds. Eternal lives. God is actually making it easy for us. He says, if you prioritize according to my kingdom, if you prioritize according to my principles, if you prioritize me, the rest will fall in place. You don't have to worry about the rest. I will take care of that, Namensio, on behalf of you. I will take care of those things. But I find that too many of us, in general, I'm not talking about Shofar Joburg, I'm talking in general, try and do things our way. We still want to pursue things in our own strength. And like that word came earlier before the service. We still want to pursue things in our own strength. And like that word came earlier before the service. We're not surrendered. Because we think we've got the answer. And we want to control and we want to lead the way that we feel comfortable with a specific situation. God says, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness. All these things will be given to you. Apply your mind to eternity. Make decisions in relation to eternity. And the rest of the things will be taken care of. That's a promise of God. We said point number one is believe the word of God. Do you believe that? It's a promise of God. It's up to us whether we will put that promise into practice or not. But I can assure you that if we do, we will see God's faithfulness manifest again. You know, many times, God is pouring out His blessing. And we are here. God's blessing is here. What we need to do is align ourselves to the blessing. Many times, we are here, and God says, I'm here. This is where my blessing is. You know where God's blessing is? When we operate according to His principles.
When we operate according to His word and we believe that word to be true and implement it in our lives, then we're in line with His blessing. God has given us the opportunity to impact eternity while we are here in the temporal. We can impact eternity in this temporal age. What we call now is the age of grace. The age of grace is finishing when Jesus is coming back. Then we've got a short age of judgment and Jesus reigning. And then we've got the eternal age of what I call the party of parties. We're going to celebrate, dance, jump up and down. Man, it's going to be amazing. Forever and ever and ever. And we're going to rule with Christ. Galaxies. It's going to be, I'm not going to go into that, I don't want to confuse you, but there's going to be many, many people continuing into eternity. And God's going to appoint those who are faithful now over galaxies, over cities, for all of eternity. It's going to be amazing. Are you aligned to the principles of God? Are you aligned to the eternal? Or are you aligned to the temporal? That's something that only you can determine. You will know. And only you can do something about that. God's not going to make that decision for you. But that is also another way that you deal with a dry patch. Let me just stand. Father, I just thank You that we can know, Lord, You are true, You are faithful, and You are just. You are eternal. And Jesus, You are coming back to fetch Your bride. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that You have already conquered. The victory is already Yours. And I thank You, Lord God, that You reveal to every one of Your children the victory that we have in You. And how to appropriate that victory in this present age. I thank You, Lord God, that we can stand on Your promises. That we can know, Lord God, Your word will not return void to You. I thank You, Lord God, for every dry season. I thank You, Lord God, for every dry season that people are going through right now. And that You are busy dealing in people's lives with the things that You want to deal in their lives, Lord God. I thank You that You are committed to shape us and to form us into the image of Jesus. And that You are preparing us right now for the eternal. While all eyes are just closed, so we've got a couple of questions here that I dotted down. So want to know, where do you find yourself? Just be honest with yourself. Are you dried up? Or are you nourished? Second question I have is, if you are nourished and living waters are flowing from you, then into whom can it flow? Do you know people in your small group or district or in your zone or friends at work or colleagues that are open for this? Going through a dry patch and whom you can support because of the rivers of life that is flowing from your life. It's a third question. If you are going through a dry patch at the moment, what is your attitude in it? Do you resent God? Or do you endure because you understand that it creates the character that God is after? And you are willing for that character to be formed in you. Fourth question. Because remember, a threefold cord is not easily broken. Don't go it alone. That'd be stupid. Identify people. You know the life of God is pouring out of their lives. Just partner with it. Just shoulder with Him. Until this season has come to an end. Father, I thank You that we can just come in agreement And I thank you, Lord God, that I don't have to pray this dry season away, but that we can stand in agreement that you will take everyone through this dry season, Lord God. Thank you that your purposes will be accomplished in this time. Thank you, Lord God, that your purposes will prevail, Lord God, and that what you want to form will be formed. We declare that in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, that everyone here who is going through this patch does not have to go through it unnecessarily longer than it should take, but they will move through it and step out on the other side more polished, more mature, more patient, having deeper character, and being more conformed to the image of Jesus. Thank you that your hand, Lord God, rests on your people.